Well, this morning, I'm going to head in a different direction. We're going to go over and begin to teach. The Lord gave me this and said to start teaching on living a life of faith. And we're going to talk about living, you know, because, you know, we understand and from a scriptural perspective, there are principles of the Word of God, and faith is one of those principles. In fact, the Bible calls in the New Testament, it's called the law of faith. But we need to understand this. It's not just something that was put out there, a law, and it, you just go do this thing every once in a while. People don't realize that faith, many times, it's a life, it's a way we live. And you know, sometimes people are walking by faith and don't even realize they're doing it. You know, you can be walking by faith and don't realize that you're actually doing it, because people get a religious idea of what faith is, and they don't realize what it requires, what the Bible actually requires us in walking by faith. And it's important that we learn to do is, it's a faith life. Many people are, instead of learning and developing in a faith life, what they're trying to do is they go along in life and then they run into stuff, then they're trying to believe God. And faith is about a way of life to live. It's a way of walking. It's a way of living. I can't imagine life without it. I can't imagine life without faith. I lived for 30 years following my plans and purposes, and now I'm past that many years living for Jesus. I can't imagine going back to living to what I was before. It's just incomprehensible to me, because it's like, wow, why would somebody, but people do, why would I want to give up such a good thing to go to something else? Hallelujah. This is the way to walk, and it's a life. And I want you to give it. And understand, as we go into this and this teaching, we won't be able to go, you know, well, I'm only led by the Spirit and how He wants to teach us, but we can't go through everything. But we need to understand this. Our faith life is based on the life of God that we received when we got born again. It's just, faith is living out what you have in you, the life of God. The Bible tells us we have the life of God in us. That's what we got. When you got born again, you had God's life imparted to you. And God wants you to live out that life out of you instead of just living out the life in the flesh. Many people, this is, they're what they're doing in their flesh and in their natural mind and way of thinking. That's the only source of what they got of life. That's what they're trying to live out. We Christians have something a whole lot better. Hallelujah. We have the life of God in us. I want you to read some scriptures to you today, just some introduction. One of the scriptures, if we go over to the book of Romans in the first chapter, Romans the first chapter, I want to read a scripture to you there that'll be helpful to us in the direction we're going. And first of all, verse 16 says this. I'm going to read 16 and 17. 16 says this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. He says, for in it, the gospel, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. And he said, well, what's in this? He said, for in it, in this gospel, in it, is the righteousness of God is in this gospel. That's what's in it. He says, righteousness is revealed in this gospel. It says, what? From faith to faith, as it is written. So, you know, it gives you the idea. Faith isn't something that you do one time. See, most people are living a life of, well, now I'm trying to believe God for this, and then now, you know, I got to believe God for that. No, it's a walk of life. The just shall live by faith. It's a life from faith to faith. In other words, it's the idea, if you would take the Greek writing there, it's the idea of a continual action of walking in something from faith. The just shall live by faith. It's a way of life. You shouldn't have to come along. From the standpoint, we first start off as babies. It's just like a natural child. They start off and they learn things in stages, you know. And so they're going through different stages of life learning. You should come to the place, you know, just like a child, you know, when he first starts walking, you know, and he gets up and they try to walk, but it seems like the first thing they want to do is run and end up falling all around and stuff. They don't know about this, you know. They sort of want to travel at the speed of light from get to here to there. They don't want to have to walk over there. It's sort of to run over there. And, you know, they stumble and fall around. But after a while, you know, just from the natural, you learn to walk. You can control your speeds and you can control your things. You don't think about it. It's not something you're trying to, in your mind, to try to figure out or control. Faith can be that way for you also if you learn to consistently walk by faith. Like with me, if I was intact in my health, I don't all of a sudden stop and think, well, now I got to get in faith for healing. Man, I'm there. I'm not trying to go there. See, most people are always trying to get to a place. And it's getting in this way of life is becoming God conscious, God in you. But we want to look at this because we found out that it says the just here, the just, they live by faith. So the righteousness of God is revealed, and the just, it says, shall live by faith. But we want to look at it really as dealing with the area of the righteous. The Young's literal translation says this, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, according to it has been written, the righteous one by faith shall live. This word just, it's there. In fact, the word that's translated just is the majority of the time is translated in the New Testament, righteous. In other words, it's dealing with the righteous person lives by faith. Now, righteousness is also by faith. But I want you to see this. The just live by faith, from faith to faith. And that is what is in the gospel. The gospel, we need to break away from the things because, really, we've been taught wrong about the gospel. The gospel is not get born again. That is part of the gospel. Living by faith is part of the gospel. It's a life of faith. Most Christians, if you went around most Christianity, I could take you into churches today where a lot of the people are born again. But that's all they are, is born again. They got born again. They have just, that's the gospel. The gospel is just getting born again. And it isn't living a life by faith. They will talk about it, but they know nothing about it because they think the gospel is just about getting born again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is everything God provided through Jesus Christ to humanity. One thing He has supplied is righteousness. I will guarantee you, and if I walked in, I won't do it. I don't want to embarrass anybody here today, but I've seen this. I've heard other ministers do it. I have done it to people already, and I walked up to them and asked them if they were the Christians, if they were righteous, and they're trying to be, and they're all these kinds of things. Why? Because they don't understand the gospel. They never had the gospel preached to them. They had, you got saved, but you're still an old scumbag sinner. I'll never forget Dwayne Norman and I were in a restaurant, and he said to the, we were leaving, and he said to the girl at the checkout, he asked her if she was a Christian, and she said yes. Well, he made a statement to her, but sinner, and anyhow, she made this statement, we were talking to her, and she said, well, we're still just sinners. Well, see, it's number one, is I know this. She doesn't know she's righteous. Righteousness is by faith. It's not by works. It's by faith. So, this, I know about this young lady. Now, she may be born again, but probably, I'll guarantee you, she never lives by faith. She has no idea about it. She goes to a church, it says her church preaches the gospel. And I just thought, that's sad. No, they don't. All they preach is born again, but they don't preach the gospel because their gospel is about 25 words and that's it. That's it. There ain't no more, there ain't nothing else in the Bible. They don't know nothing else. In fact, she's walking around definitely not living a life of faith. She don't know, my word, she thinks she's just still the old scumbag she was when she accepted Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I will guarantee you she's probably not living a good life because she's going to live the life of what she believes she is. Now, I'm not criticizing her. She's living like she's told. You know, because, and we know this fact because Wade Norman said, he said, just an old sinner. He said, do you lie and stuff? She said, well, I did sometimes. Well, I know why she does. Because she's told she's just an old sinner. And see, if you don't see yourself in the light of the Word of God, the righteous, it says, these righteous ones live by faith. You know what? They've never been taught they're righteous. They've never been taught they're righteous. And if you don't know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you can't live a life of faith. Faith is based on righteousness, man. If you don't know how you stand before God, you'll always come to God like an old beggar. You'll come to God based on your works. That's what religion teaches you to come to God based on your performance. You come to God based on your performance. You know, I listen to many times as faith ministers over the years teach about like faith in the areas of finances and giving. And I've heard them say, you know, well, you know, keep track of your giving and then take it before God. You can't go before God on the basis of faith and saying about what you gave and what you did. That ain't the way you get money. I get money from God based on what He did, not what all I did. Dear God. If I only got from God based on what I did, you know, I've done a number of good things, but on the other side, I've messed up a few times. And if I hauled up before, if I'm going to go to God, look, you need to understand it. You go up and haul your good works before God, He has every right to show you every dirty thing you did. Is that what you want to do? No, I don't want to go. I don't want that one. I want this thing where I'm coming by faith alone. And faith is based upon a righteousness that is not my own. It's about living this life, and we want to live this life of faith. And I just, you know, some other scriptures I want to read to you about the life of faith. Galatians 3:11 says this. Galatians 3:11, the Apostle Paul wrote this also. He said, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, he said, is evident. It's evident that the law can't save you. That's evident. Israel had the law. Israel had the law for many thousands of years, and it didn't save them. They didn't live any better. The Messiah came, and they killed him. So, understand, the law ain't going to save you. It never saved anybody. And he says here, why? He said, what? The just, or we could say the righteous, again, that same word, shall what? Live by faith. The way of life, the faith life, is a way of righteousness by faith, is what it is. Now we have in Hebrews also, and we find again in Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews, this is a letter that was written specifically to Jewish Christians, the Hebrews. And it says, in 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, it says, my soul has no pleasure in him. God finds no pleasure in people, in a believer, who wants to try to live by law or try to live by, or try, you know, to by their own performance and that stuff. It's living by faith. The righteous person lives by faith. That's the life that God called you and I to, is a life of faith. It's living that life. But we want to see and understand of a righteousness that was given to you and me, and that righteousness was given not on the basis of work. You came to Jesus Christ, you didn't have to perform any great feat. You just think about it. All we had to do is admit that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. That's all we had to believe. We had to admit that. That's all we had to do to be saved. You didn't come to God and say, you know, I was told as a kid lots of times growing up, you know, you wanted Jesus to accept you, you had to clean up your life. I could never, I thought, oh man, this ain't going to work. I don't know about you. I was never good at New Year's resolutions. You know, I think some people think they are or something. You know, some people think, you know, but by their will they do stuff. I'll tell you what, I'll get 1,000 times more done by my faith than any person with a strong will. I'll tell you, my faith will override you every time. Hallelujah. Because my faith is not based upon my performance. Hallelujah. Because you can't beat Jesus. I don't care how strong your will is, you can't beat Jesus. And my faith in Jesus is bigger than anybody's will. Hallelujah. So trying to willpower don't work. I lived for 30 years under my willpower. Hallelujah. And what it got me was alcoholism, drug addiction, devil worship. Oh, it was wonderful. It was absolutely grand. And we do it by our will. Now, there's a lot of people out here, and they'll say, well, I was never a devil worshiper. You know, I've been a Christian. There's many people out here in the class that they call themselves Christians, but really, they've never really been Christians per se or lived a Christian life. They lived a religious life. They never lived a life of faith. And you know what? They were just as messed up as I was over in all the junk I was in. Just as messed up. Yet they said, well, I was never a drug addict. I was never an alcoholic. I know a person came to me one time and said to me, and I knew the person pretty well, He said, I never lived a bad life and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you the price there. I didn't say anything to him, but I almost felt like just saying to him, look, you're one of the biggest gossips I ever met in my mouth. You've torn more people up with your mouth, you've done more murders with your mouth than a little bit. Jesus said, you know, the word tells you, you're a murderer if you don't love your brother. And that person was always fighting somebody. But they're telling me, man, as a drug addict, I was better off than them. I wasn't killing anybody but myself. But they come along and said, I never did any of this bad stuff. And I thought, my God, you need saved. And they say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian? Well, what did you get saved from, you goody two-shoes? You're still a Christian and acting like hell. You know, it never changed. So, praise God. But salvation is by faith alone. We got it. Righteousness we received. And we found, the Bible says, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And we found out that it tells us, as believers, that we're supposed to live a life of faith. It's a way of life and a way of living. And so we want to look at this, especially from the standpoint of justification. In Romans 3 and verse 28, I want to read this to you. Romans 3 and verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified. A man's justified. Again, it's that same word, or we could say a man is justified or he's righteous. By faith apart from the deeds of the law. Man is justified or man is made righteous by faith. It's by faith. The most wonderful thing of it is, you know, Christianity is trying to attain something. I remember when I was a young Christian and listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, and Kenneth Hagin was at a church and ministering, and he was ministering on righteousness and on faith and dealing with righteousness. And there was, you know, one of the leaders of the church. It wasn't the pastor, but it was one of the leaders of the church. And he said he was a wonderful Christian man. But he walked up and during the service, because he was explaining this, and he said to the gentleman, he said, are you righteous? And the guy said, well, I'm trying to be. And he said this to him. He said, well, let me ask you this. He said, I'm not speaking to be vulgar or make funny, but he says, are you a man or a woman? Well, he said, I'm a man. Well, he said, how did you get to be that? And he said, I was born that way. And he said, well, that's the way you get righteous too. See, you're born righteous. You need to understand that. There's nobody that's in the God's family who is not righteous. If you ain't righteous, you ain't God's family. I'll guarantee you that. Why? It's what you're born into. You're justified or you're made righteous by faith. That's how you get to be righteous. If it's not by the law, it's not by works, then how else can it come? See, many people are trying to be righteous by faith. Now, you understand this. We want to live and walk a righteous life. But we don't become righteous because we walk or live a life. Our righteousness is from God alone. You can't get it. You can't stand before God based on your good works or what you've done. You have no place to do that. This is what many are trying to do. They're trying to get their prayers answered. Well, I was good this week. They feel really good about themselves. You let them mess up. A person operates like that, you let them mess up, and the next week they couldn't pray or ask God. They're walking around feeling, oh, I messed up. You don't know what I did. And they walk and live it. If they turn around and mess up, you know, they'll turn around and stay away from God for 2 months, you know, trying to, oh, poor old me, till they finally, you know, get back in fellowship with God. Well, if the Bible says if I've sinned, he says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, I mean, you don't have to, if you mess up, you don't have to stay out there in the dark roaming around for, you know, 27 years. And trying to get it straight. You just confess your sin. Say, yeah, but you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did, neither does God. Why do you want to bring it up? See, we get overhooked into all this stuff. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to appease God. It's like, you know, going in and telling the minister you did something wrong. And he tells you, do this right or do that right. That's what fixes it. Or, you know, pray, say this or say that. No, it don't. That isn't going to fix anything. What fixes something is acting in line with the Word of God by faith. You act in line with what God's Word says by faith. If God calls me righteous, I may have an unrighteous act, something I did that was unrighteous, but that doesn't make me an unrighteous person. It's no more than when I was born into the family and our name was Gibson. And you know, I messed up in the family and they didn't, you know, they could have thrown me out of the family, but my name was still Gibson. They couldn't take that from me. See, you're still in that family. You're still in that same gene pool, you know? They can say what they want. They can't chuck you out. You need to understand, as a Christian, you're born Your spiritual DNA is like God's. You're spiritually like God's. You're in His family. And you can only be righteous. The only people that are in his family are righteous. There ain't no other. You're born that way. You're born the righteousness of God. It's what is given to you upon birth. You know, my children, you know, there's certain things that they inherit because of being born into our family. And so we need to understand it's the same way. You know, people look at it as like, you know, God, well, we're going to keep me in or chuck me out. I remember as a young boy in church, you know, it was always like they were trying to get saved again. You know, they were, you know, doing good. Every time you messed up, it was trying to get back in good with God again. It was almost like, well, I sinned, so I'm probably not God's kid anymore, and now I've got to get this thing straightened out. Everybody's trying to live this life, but they never lived a life of faith. There was no faith involved in what they did. If they missed the mark, they're always trying to fix it. Instead of going over the areas of faith, now there might be things that I have to maybe have done wrong, and there are some things that I may have to do. But it's not to get in good graces with God. And you need to understand that. If you think your works is what's going to bring you in good graces with God, you have another thing coming. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. Righteousness is apart from the deeds of the law. In Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified or made righteous, it says, by faith, listen to this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I have been justified or made righteous. I have peace with God. Do you know you have peace with God? See, what the world does, the world has got into the church. And they bring all this peace stuff over, and they all this fighting world peace all the time, world peace. There's nowhere it teaches world peace in the New Testament. There's going to be world peace one day. Jesus Christ is going to return and kill all the evil people. That's scriptural. People who don't accept Christ, Jesus Christ is going to return. And all those who reject, don't want to have anything to do with Him, all those who have taken the mark of the beast are going to die. World peace will come. But until that time, how you and I live in this realm and how you and I succeed in this realm is through peace with God. Your prayers are answered on the basis of peace with God. And that peace is based upon righteousness. Through righteousness, you have peace with God. Look, God and man, the Bible tells us they had an enmity. In other words, they were enemies of one another. Man in his sin and God in his righteousness are enemies of one another. Go over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Go over and read it. It'll tell you about it. You go over and read that. They were enemies of one another. But through Jesus Christ, God, it says, removed that enmity that was between man and God. And He did it through faith. And how? On the basis of righteousness. You being a child of God, now God and you are at peace with one another. See, many people are trying to have peace, and the peace that most people want, they want to have peace about all the problems that are going on the earth. You're never going to have peace about all the problems going on the earth. Trouble will never make you peaceful. You succeed, and you and I will succeed in this life because you and I walk with peace in God. If I will walk by faith that I have peace with God, then I can ask God for things and get stuff fixed, get things, you know, working for me. Why? I'm at peace with God. You're not going to be at peace with man. The Bible says the best of your ability, walk in peace with everybody. I'm going to tell you, the best of your ability ain't going to do good a lot of the times. The best of your ability, you ain't going to be able to walk in peace with some people, so get over it. Quit trying to make it all work and everything. The biggest thing that will change your life, if you'll get in line with the Bible and start living like you have peace with God. Hallelujah. God is never my enemy. God is never working against me. God is always for me. We're always at peace with each other. Look, I want you to understand this. If Ed and God are at peace with each other, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. You want to come over and mess up the peace, you'll get in trouble. Man in peace, this is the whole thing. Faith works only for those who have peace with God. That's why if even a problem comes up onto me that I never even faced before, I don't have to worry. I got peace with God. We'll get this thing fixed. See, we need to come back to the place. This is why many people have trouble in the areas of faith because things happen to them and they'll say, well, why did this happen to me? They don't think the first thing, well, this, I have peace with God. God didn't bring this thing on me. The first thing they think, well, what's this? And they start going, the first place their mind goes to is where all the problems are. And then they'll spend a couple of weeks roaming through that and going through that little land, them and Alice in Wonderland, going around Alice wandering, and they'll go through the little Wonderland. You don't have to go through Wonderland. You got peace with God. You have peace with God. If you have peace with God, you move immediately into faith. But people don't. They first move into Wonderland, stay there, then their next step is trying to get in faith. That's why it don't work. You have peace with God. The whole point of righteousness is the fact that you and God are at peace with one another. God is not against you. He's for you. God's for all humanity, but understand, those who don't respond in Him never attain righteousness. You don't respond to God by faith. If you don't respond to Jesus Christ by faith, you can never attain righteousness. You can't do it. I don't care how many nice things you do or how many wonderful. I don't care if you feed all the poor in the world. It don't matter. It don't matter what all you do and that stuff. You can do all those things. They mean nothing to God. The only thing that means anything to God is our response by faith to Jesus Christ. That's what brings me righteousness and peace with God. If you come to the place where you really understand that you have peace with God, you're not trying to get it. Do you know, I tell you what, if you miss the mark, God isn't there all of a sudden. Now we're at war again. Here we go. Let's get the big guns out. No. You still have peace with God. That's why you can come and confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive. Why? You're at peace with God. God is working with you from the standpoint of restoration. You're His righteousness. It's His righteousness. He's given to you. And you stand in that, and it's like, you just come to me. So, one of the things of living in peace, especially if you want to overcome worry, you must come to the knowledge that you have peace with God. If you don't, you're going to worry. You're going to worry about things. It's number one, the worst thing in the world that anybody could have happen to them, that they believe there's a God, but that God is working against them. Look, if God's working against you, you ain't got a chance. You can pray night and day and do what all you are. But if you believe God's against you, you're wasting your time. God's against you. What chance do you have? What chance do I have fighting against God? You know? Now, we have the picture of it in the book of Revelation. What's going to happen? This big army. They're going to bring hundreds of millions of military into the area of Jerusalem to fight against the return of Jesus Christ. They're going to know He's coming back. Jesus don't show up with one gun. He don't show up with nothing. Because these morons don't know that He's God. They rejected that fact. You know what? The people in the earth here who are believing in Jesus' return, they don't have to worry one lick. They don't have to worry. Nothing's going to happen to them. But Jesus is going to come. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible talks about, you know, the blood flow is going to be up to the horse's girth. Talks about this whole army, hundreds of millions are going to be killed in an instant. Killed in an instant. Jesus coming, He don't even carry a gun. It says with the sword of His mouth. In other words, Jesus is going to return and say some words and it's all over. They're going to be out there with all their high-tech weapons, you know. I can just see all the stuff, you know, America and their drones and all their stuff sitting out there. We're going to stop Jesus. They got all their stuff. And Jesus is going to come back and laugh. You know, Jesus is coming back with the saints, but don't say the saints are going to be doing anything. I think we're going to come back for the watch the performance. I think that's basically what's going to be. We're going to come back and say, you're going to go, you guys stand over here, this side over, now watch. But you know, the Bible talks about when men are doing all this crazy stuff and doing all these things, and it says God will laugh at them. God laughs. God laughs at men's stupidity. You can't stand against God. We need to understand there's people, they do have something to worry about. But if I view God in that way concerning myself, I'm going to limit myself and my ability to believe God. I'll never live a life of faith. If I look at God being against me, God's not against me and He's not against you. You are in peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just because you accepted Jesus, just because you believed on Him and responded to Him, you have peace with God. See, you get that in yourself. Get it into your spirit till you thoroughly believe that. It'll revolutionize your prayer life. You won't pray night and day and night and day trying to get God to hear you or thinking He does or don't or whatever. People do those things because they don't know. I have peace with God. I know this. If I respond to Him according to the word, He hears me, the Bible tells me. But, you know, John said, if I ask anything according to His will, I know He hears me. That's what John said. You can know that He hears you if you ask anything according to His will. I mean, man, that's it. And He said, if you know that He hears you, then you know you have the petition that you requested. That's what John said, 1 John 5th chapter. That's what he said. See, you wouldn't spend up, you know, going for a week on end and asking God for something, wondering if He heard you. Well, I pray. Maybe I pray louder. Maybe if I get myself a nice microphone and a big PA system and I yell loud enough, maybe I can get it and push it out there far enough for Him to hear this thing. Or maybe if I do it, maybe if I stand on my head or I do something real painful, you know. Maybe I'll take a pliers and squeeze my toe while I'm praying, and then God will be really moved by the fact that I'm really serious about this thing. Or maybe, you know, I'll crawl on my hands and knees for 40 miles or do something. Or, you know, and then, you know, maybe I'll quit eating for at least 3 or 4 weeks and then He'll hear my prayer. Now, there's nothing about fasting, but fasting's never for God, it's for us. It's never for God. You can fast all you want and you ain't gonna get God to do a thing. God's not moved by fasting, you will be. It'll change you to bring your flesh under control, but God's not moved by it. God's not moved by the fast. The fast changes us, not God. God never changes. If God said no, it's no. That's it. That's it. You come down to that. If God's will is not in it, it ain't going to be happening. Hallelujah. We want to know this is where in the Bible teaches us concerning faith. And I'm laying down a foundation because eventually where we're going to go is we're going to look at the guy Abraham. Because this Lord told me to talk about Abraham and show Abraham his life of faith and how he walked in faith with God. And he's a wonderful example. The Bible calls Abraham the father of our faith, so you should know pretty much about him. If you don't, you don't know much about faith. You'll know a lot about Abraham, you don't know much about faith, because he's the father of faith. It'd be good if we'd look what Daddy did in the faith world. What was our father of faith doing? You know, most people just know the stories. They know about the baby that was born and, you know, all that cute stuff. You know, when I was a kid in church, they told us all the stories, but they never told us why, and yet it never amounted to nothing and never changed your life. You know, because it's, you know, the stories, they weren't things just to be told to tell kids neat stories about miracles that happen. You know, I'm not interested in any miracles happening. If I can't get it operating on for me, I don't even want to bother reading it. What's the point? There's enough entertainment in the world without having more. I don't need to be entertained. Hallelujah. This book is not an entertainment piece. Hallelujah. This book is true. And this book, the things that take place in this book can take place in your life. Hallelujah. That's the difference in these things. But faith, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, then so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes by hearing. Faith comes. So faith comes to us now, and I think about this. Faith comes to you by no difficult thing. It's no hard thing that faith comes. Faith simply comes by hearing. And what we're here, we're talking about faith in God. So faith comes by hearing what? God's word. Specifically, when you talk about faith in God, we're talking about faith in God's word. This is what we're talking about. People have much faith about a lot of different things. People can have faith, you know, in different stuff. But we're talking about faith. So faith comes by hearing God's word, or hearing what God said. What God has said. Now, as we'll go on and we're going to look in the scriptures, as we look at these things, we're going to find out, is Abraham. Abraham heard from God. Now, understand, Abraham didn't have a Bible. There was no Bible. Abraham didn't have a Bible. God spoke to Abraham. We're going to find out how God communicated to him something. But Abraham, God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed what God says. God still speaks to people. You know, as people today say about, well, you know, God, I've heard so many ministers say, well, God, don't talk to people like you did back then and all, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you what, if I ever had a minister who was over me and said, God, don't talk to you much anymore and that stuff, he'd never be my minister again. God never quit talking. It bothers me when people don't hear from God. I have done, from the time I was born again, I've been hearing from heaven. God speaks to me about things. That's supposed to be the norm. But see, we've had so much junk pumped into us. We've had so many wrong things. We have expected Him not to, and that's why He don't. Why? Because we don't live a life of faith. We believe all the junk. We believe that we have to listen to what everybody else says all the time. That God, I have to find, you know, if I want to know about the end times, what I got to do is find the bright preacher that's preaching on it to tell me what's going to happen. If I want to know what's happening in 2014, we got to hear the right preacher to tell us what's going to happen. They may know something, but I'm going to tell you, there's things that you need to know about your life in 2014, and you ain't going to hear it from somebody preaching to you. You're going to have to ask God yourself. They might tell you some things in general God says, but most people ain't got a clue in their own life. I want to know, I want God to talk to Ed. Thank God He did. He talks to Ed. Because there's things Ed hears. You know, there's things that you need I don't need. I need to hear about something else. There's many things said in Scripture, but there's loads of things in Scripture that don't specifically say it, don't have my name on it, or tells me what I'm supposed to do. Although I can use Scripture as a guidance by what is said to me, but there's things you need to hear from God. As Kenneth Hagin made the statement and said that the Lord Jesus Christ told him Himself. He said, I'm going to hold you as accountable before what I told you as what's written in the book. We need to hear from heaven. I always use the example. How would I know I was called to be a preacher? How would I know I was called to preach the gospel? I ain't found Ed's name one time in the book. I never saw it in there any time that Ed's supposed to preach. How do you find that out? You know, you wait till Grandma prophesies over you? Well, Grandma, you know, she might have had too much pizza and say anything. I don't need what Grandma says. I need to hear from heaven about Ed. Because when times of pressure come, when you've only listened to Grandma, you know what happens? Pressure comes, you say, Grandma must have been eating pizza and didn't really hear from heaven. She just had some gas. You need to hear things. You need to hear things for yourself. And so, but we live this. So faith comes by hearing. Faith can come by the preaching of the word. Faith can come, you know, people read scriptures. One of the things that I do, and I found out, is this, it helps me immensely. You know, I realize, you know, they taught us in school, you know, you read, because what they're teaching you to do is how fast you can read. Now they want you to read things real fast. I'm not interested in reading things. I found this out. This is why down in Congress, they read all that stuff real fast and we got all these dumb laws. See, you shouldn't be able to read over 10 words a minute. If you want to have any brains in your head, because I tell you, there's so many deceivers out there doing things. But see, I don't want to read this thing fast. And I read it out loud to me. I say words that Ed can hear, because I found this out. Words seen and words that pass through my mind and are said stick more to me than words that are just, I'm just going ahead and reading, you know. I know this, like these people, you know, they go, I'm going to read through the Bible, you know, do the 1 year Bible and read through the Bible for the year. And what they do is, oh man, I got to read my section there so I can get down here and through that thing. And I have my Bible read it. And I read through the Bible through the year. What did it say? I don't know. And then you stand up and preach to them and they're like, well, where's that in the Bible? Wow, they're doing their speed reading. I'm not interested in speed reading the book. I'm interested in understanding what it says. Faith comes by hearing. So if I'm going to read the word, my lips move and I say things. They would throw me out of class. But I'll tell you what, I'm way ahead of that teacher. When it comes to faith, those teachers that told me to do that, I'm far advanced to where they're at because they learn nothing spiritually. I find that's a lot of people don't learn a lot of things is because you'd grab a whole lot of things, even in the natural, that you're trying to learn and get. If you would look at the words and say the words, it's amazing how much you do. It's just like last night before I went to bed, I said, I'm going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. And so I looked over at the clock, woke up, it was a quarter after. I went laid over there a little while, dozed back off, woke up, it was 5:29, you know, and I just laid there. And the alarm went off and Wanda shuts it off. But I lay there. But, you know, I'll just lay there. What I do? I say something. I say something. I speak things. You say stuff. You got to learn to talk. Most people are talking all, but they're always talking junk. You know, always talking about how bad things are and they're talking about this or talking about that. But, you know, it's not learning. Let yourself hear things, say things, hear things. Get the Word of God. Read them. Read words. Say them so you can hear them. Hallelujah. This book is so valuable. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. So I want to hear what it says. That's one thing. Is I listen to a lot of teaching and ministry of people. I listen to stuff. I'm very careful about who and what I listen to. I don't listen to a whole bunch of stuff. I don't listen to a whole bunch of things. Because faith comes by hearing. You got it. The Bible says to us in the New Testament, there's many voices out here. They said, none of them are without significance. They're significant, but it depends what they're significant for. Some of them are significant to lead you astray, and they're doing good at it. I mean, one minister, he's on TV, he's one of the big worldwide, and he's on this bit about, why you God don't break fellowship with you when you sin and all this kind of stuff, saying all this junk. You're listening to that stuff, and you can sit around and say, I don't believe that. You keep listening to him, you will after a while. You'll let that junk get in your spirit. You just keep listening to things said and listening to things said. You don't have to repent from sin. You don't have to do that. I'm going to tell you what, that's dangerous. That'll lead people to end up falling into sin and getting into stuff they'd wish they had never been in. People end up losing their lives, not being able to get healed. That's dangerous stuff. There's one thing about it. You don't want to stay over in the areas of sin. You play in the devil's camp, and you're in the devil's camp. He can have you anytime he wants you. You can call on the name of the Lord all you want. You ain't going to repent. God can't come and deliver you from what you have chosen to take. You can't play both sides. And so we need to be careful, because there's a lot of things going on out here. So we need to understand this. You can develop your faith. And let me tell you this about the faith life. You can develop your faith in wrong things by listening to wrong things. You can develop your faith. Just like in the natural. In the natural things around that we do. You find people all the time have beliefs. They do this all the time. You'll see it. Sometimes you go online and they'll say, they'll have these things where they'll tell you that say, different things that people believe are facts that aren't facts. And you start going through these things. Oh, by the way, the news media constantly pumping things out that aren't true. Constantly. And they believe a lot of stuff. I mean, if you listen to the media concerning medical and medical science, they pump out more junk than a man on them. If you believe that stuff and believe the things you hear, you believe about diet and all this kind of stuff, what you hear the media pumping out all these things all the time, you ain't got a clue. You're worse than Alice in Wonderland. Kenneth Hagin had the sense they used to tell us. He used to say to us, he said, you don't believe something just because I preach it, go see if the Bible says it. Man, we treat the media like God. In fact, we treat the media better than we ever treat God. They say things and we worship. Oh yes, that's it, that's it. We'll say, oh man, those people, they're bad, they're liberals, but boy, they say something in the news and my God, we're following it. Dear Lord. How? We base what they say and we build a faith out of it, and that becomes an area that we begin to walk into. That's why many people, I've got loads of Christians can't get healed today. The reason they have been taught faith and healing, because they have so embraced diet and so embraced all the diet stuff, they can't get healed. Because they're trying to get healed through their diet and saying, I'm believing God. Why? They're trying to do it through works. They're putting the diet. Oh yeah, if I eat all the right, if everything and this doing, nothing I'm eating, man, I'm gonna tell you what, it ain't got any chemicals in it. Well, you believe that? My God, you are a space cadet. Dear Lord. Well, I don't, everything of mine is just doing on. I'm gonna eat all this right stuff and I'm gonna be well. I'm sure there's gonna be all those people, probably the Antichrist, and has all that group when Jesus comes back, and they think they're gonna be all right too. Everything's going to work out great. Yes, it's working. It doesn't. We leave faith. And what we have come around is by performance. We need to understand in the areas of faith, and the Bible says, it's like I asked the Lord some years ago about the area of diet. And he told us, and the Lord spoke to me and said to me, he said, heaven does not have a diet. He said, heaven has moderation in all things. That's what it is. Dear Lord, you can eat the pie once in a while. You can have the cake. You just don't eat all the whole cake, unless, you ain't had cake for a long time and eat the whole thing, have a big time. But you know what? Because you sat and ate the cake once don't mean that you're not going to get well. See, but you get in your mind that if I do this, I've been sitting around Christians and say, boy, if I eat, if I eat this thing and if I eat that thing, and I listen to them say it, if I eat this or I eat that, I tell you what, I'm going to mess up. And I listened to him say, I'm thinking, my God, food has more power over you than God ever had. If I touch that thing, oh my God, God ain't as big as that piece of cake. Well, knowing that, and there's sugar in there. Oh my God. Oh, sugar was created in hell, put here on the earth, and, you know. I mean, but it's absolutely, people are getting sick, but understand, I'm talking this stuff, we're talking about living a life by faith. And we're today, many people can't live a life by faith because we're living this thing of what we call this information age with all this wrong information. We're listening to so many things other than God. We're listening. You can come here to church and you can listen to me preach and say, boy, he goes long. But I'm going to tell you, you're listening long at home. You're listening all week to all kind of trash is coming. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know how to guard yourself, I'm going to tell you, you're a trash collector. You're a trash collector. If you don't learn how to guard yourself. You know, I appreciate what doctors do, but you know, I'll tell you, when I set myself over to faith, you know, the doctor could say anything he wanted to me. I'd shake his hand and say, yeah, well, bless you, brother. You know, have a good time. But I ain't going to believe what he says. If I'm over near your faith and know where I'm heading in this thing, he can say anything he wants. Up to what he believes is what's wrong with me and I'm going to die in 10 minutes. That's what he understands, and that's fine. From a natural standpoint, that might be true. But I'm believing from a higher level. And see, that's where you have to go. You have to watch what's said out here. We live in a society, many people are fearing all kinds of things that are untrue. But yet that fear has gripped them and that fear will dominate their life. It'll keep them from a sound mind. It'll mess things up in their families. It'll mess things up in their health and everything else. Because they buy things and they say, well, this is the way it is. That's the way it is. And so we get over in the things. I mean, one of the most amazing things is I ever found out is traveling and going to other nations to minister. I have always had greater miracles than you can ever have in America. Always. Always. I mean, I could get things. I mean, I've had services and stuff go on. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm serious. I was at a point one time, I wanted to leave the church badly, and I just wanted to go minister overseas somewhere. I wanted to leave America. I couldn't stand the American Christians at all because they can't believe a thing. We're too tied to doctors. We're too tied to diet. We're too tied to we don't see it. We don't understand. I'm not against a doctor. I'm not against, you know, food for people in their food. It's how you believe it. You can't get people healed because they got in the back of their mind. Yes, I'm believing God for healing, but I got to fix this and I got to fix that. And you go in these places and they ain't got nothing going on and all stuff. And you know, they sure ain't got the diet. You know what? And you go get miracles. You know? They go to Fiji and a lady can believe, raises her own son from the dead. Dear Lord. You know, she didn't stop and go, well, the doctor said, and you know, this is the problem. And you know, my son ain't been eating right. He's eating them candy bars and all that. I mean, he needs to jump. He won't eat right at the table all the time. Well, you can never get him to raise him from the dead. My words, he has a terrible diet. Well, he died because of his terrible diet. We'll never get him back. You get that stuff in you, folks, and I want you to understand, you can't live a life of faith. You know, we need to understand because we're so whacked out of balance. We're so whacked out of balance. One of the best things that happened in America, if, you know, we'd probably close all of our schools down for a good 20 years and just sort of go back to where nobody had a brain in their head anymore, could use it from the standpoint of all these ideas we get, all this stuff we fill ourselves with, to raise up a people who don't know anything and just believe what the Bible said. Don't tell them anything but what the Bible says. Because people have had, through education, this society, this, oh man, like being online and being on all this stuff with everybody, you know, always looking up. People are so full of everything but God. Christians are so full of everything but God. And we need to understand that. We need to grab a hold of it. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you want to put faith to work, faith comes down to believing God. It's just like Jesus made the statement and he said, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Now, naturally, natural speaking, that is an impossibility. That's an impossibility. But you know what? That prayer can only be answered by a person who's righteous by faith, is number one, and knows it. Now, not somebody who's just born again. Somebody who knows it. Now, what does it say? They asked that mountain to move, he said, with no doubt in your heart. There can't believe other things in the way, like somebody saying, yes, I'm confessing it, but boy, it's an awfully big mountain. That's pretty, you know, and that, for that mountain to be moved, well now, you know, so-and-so preached about that, and I heard him, and he said, you know, that's the mountains in your life. Well, you could move the mountains in your life, but I'm going to tell you what, you can move mountains in the earth. Jesus was talking about a physical mountain because he just caused a physical tree to die and told his disciples that wasn't no big deal. He said, you can move mountains. But see, we don't have mountain moving faith in America today. America has not even molehill moving faith. People have been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, taught faith, and can't even get rid of a headache. Now, don't get mad at me and throw rocks. But I'm just telling you, what's wrong? We haven't learned to live a life of faith. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we're righteous. Faith comes by hearing the word, but we're hearing too much other stuff other than what the Bible says. We have too many voices on. Too many voices are saying too much stuff other than what the Bible says. I have cut off the voices. I'm not even listening to a lot of Christians. I didn't pay attention to what they say to me anymore. I mean, they'll ask you to pray for you, then try to fill you 15 minutes with unbelief about their problem. And they ask you to pray. It's like, don't say anymore. Let's believe God. Dear Lord, you've gone too long in your insanity. You want to get me in your unbelief. Well, dear Lord, ain't no point in praying. See, we need, and this is why, is we've gotten out of touch on the life of faith. And faith is just something that every once in a while that we use as we go along and we walk in life. Then now I have this problem. Let's get God involved. God shouldn't have this place where one day He gets to get involved in your life. God should be involved in our life, in our way of thinking. In the way that we live, the way that we walk, it's a constant of how we think. What's going on? What's really going on in our minds? What are we letting feed into us? It's not enough for you to just listen to the right things. You must throw out the wrong things, wrong thinking. If people can't correct you, you can't be fixed. If you can't be corrected, you can't be fixed. I want you to understand that. If you can't be corrected, you can't be fixed. Impossible. And we have a society that hates correction. Loathes it. Christianity loathes correction. The first thing out of their mouth is, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Christians in America don't believe that America could go the way of Israel when talking to the prophets come along and they say, we don't want to hear it, we don't want to hear it. No, 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 no. No, you don't know what you're talking about. God loves us and we're all good. And I just want to say, and again, it's not criticism. Over the years, I have had this, over the years of people come, they won't come, they have a problem, they come with a problem and you say, they'll come and tell you what the problem is and you start talking to them about it, start dealing, showing what they need to do. And the first thing, most people get offended. See, what they want is a counselor to agree with them they're doing right. Look, if you're doing right, then you got it fixed. What are you doing here with me? Why would you be coming to me, talking to me, and you know what's going on? That's stupidity. But see, we live in this society. We want to, you know, if what I'm doing is not working, I know this, I got to change it. Then what I know, there's some things I might know it's right, but there's some things I definitely don't know. There's some things that aren't right. I want to hear what isn't right, what ain't working. Why, if what I'm walking in supposedly by faith never changes? If it doesn't change, well, what is wrong? See, I don't believe in this. You know, I believe in faith and patience, and you know, there's things of duration. But I will tell you this: I have never had to stay sick for years. Never have had anything ever like that in my entire Christian walk. And this I know: God is definitely not a respecter of persons, and he isn't good to Ed on healing because Ed's Mr. Right Diet, Ed's Mr. Right, you know, this and all that stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I know it's not because of that, because I've learned how to respond to God in that area in faith. I know how to make that work. I was taught by God. And I'm just going to say, and this isn't being big-headed. I know more about it than most people do. I know more about it. And I'm not being big-headed. I was taught by God. Dear Lord, I wouldn't have known a thing about it had he told me. But the whole thing, I learned how it works. And the Lord told me, he said, to teach people in the areas of healing, he said, you tell them this. If they will do what you tell them, they will listen to what you say to them and do what you tell them to do. You tell them this, that they'll be healed every time. He said, he told me to do that. I have a terrible time getting people to listen. I have a terrible time getting people to listen because people always go do something else. Because they have other ideas about it. They have their idea about things. And they'll say, I don't understand this. How many times have I heard, I don't understand this? And I think, my good, you still ain't going to either, because if I talk to you about it, you're still going to understand it because I've already preached on it 27 times and you still ain't got it. It's good preaching anyhow. Now look, it's not, but we need this. There's a correction. If we're going to live this life of faith, you have to. The devil's moved in and set up camp. Haven't you noticed? He has. And yet we can't live the same life, folks. We can't live the same life. We can't keep playing the church. I don't want to go to a play church somewhere. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go. Man, because people, and I mean, I think good people are dying. Good people are facing huge problems. And you know, they're sitting there around praying, but really, many have lost hope. Many have lost hope. Because we've run along this thing of getting by and just getting by on things, putting band-aids on things. Not really dealing with what the problems are. We need to deal in this area of faith. Faith comes by the hearing. And I just want to encourage you because we're going to, in talking these, we need, if anything you need, you, and I'm talking about you as an individual, myself, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven in this day and time. We need heaven speaking to you and me. You need to hear other than my voice. There's things that God uses me to teach you. But it's not to teach you so you could just, well, just what Ed said, and you don't go any further than what Ed said. There's lots of things I could say and talk about that I've never talked about to people and that stuff in teaching. It's like, Brother Hagin, there's some things you can't teach people. You talk about it, you're just blowing wind because they ain't going to pay no attention to it. People have to reach certain levels. They have to come to certain places to hear things. You got to do that. You know, it's just like with me in school. When I started general math, they took us over to algebra. It would have been stupid trying to take Ed to calculus when he couldn't figure out algebra. It would have been a dumb thing to do. But we have to learn things. But there's always things to learn, and there is a correction. And we're living in a time, I believe, that there is a correction, and we need to make that. And I just want to encourage you in these areas. I didn't plan on specifically talking in some of these areas that I'm talking about this morning. But we need to learn to respond to God by faith in what we believe. We need to remove away from all of our thoughts about just our religious traditions and how we do stuff. It's like the Lord some years ago, now it's been well over 10 years. The Lord spoke to me one day and said to me, he said, why do you believe what you believe? And when he said it, it was one of those things that like it just... all of a sudden I knew what it was about. You know, he always, I don't know how he does that. He says a few words and all of a sudden you know all this stuff. It's like, gee, I've said a lot of words and people still don't get it. He says a couple of words and all of a sudden I know this whole thing. And I knew I need to go back and go through the scriptures of why I believe what I believe. And so I started over on the foundation of scriptures and stuff and going through things that people begin to say and do. I went over concerning salvation because, and then I found out, I went over and began to look and I thought, my words, no wonder a lot of people go through a so-called a sinner's prayer, and it never was a sinner's prayer. Never quoting what the Bible says you're supposed to believe. Never once in line with the Word of God and what you're supposed to believe to be saved. Never once. And I started looking through and I thought, my words, from a scriptural standpoint, we're off base on a lot of things. We have left, it isn't that we didn't know the truth, it wasn't taught us. But you know, over time, you start moving away. You think you know, we're just smart. We're just smart, you know. And people get, you know, better ideas, you know. It's like Ford gets a new idea. I want to tell you, God never gets a new idea. He has never had one. If God would ever get a new thought, He ain't God no more. The Bible says God knows everything. There ain't nothing more for God to learn. If God does a new thing, it might be new to you, but it never was new to God. So you need to get to know your God. You need to get to know. Your God is an absolute genius. There's nothing He don't know. There's nothing He don't understand. There's nothing. I would say this, the average individual. If most people would spend as much time in thought and doing concerning, just like say in medicine, for going to a doctor, if they would spend that same amount of time going after God, they would be totally astounded how they would grow spiritually. We'll give doctors or we'll give other things huge amounts of time in our life. We'll give enormous amounts of time to it. You know? We'll give enormous amounts of time. Like, how much time do I spend on Facebook or whatever else? I can turn around. What if I turn around and spent that time and did as much in fellowship? I'll tell you what, I spent a lot more time in fellowship with God than people. Because I found out people make you crazy after a while. It isn't people bad. I like people. But to understand, your perspective, you'll lose perspective of life. You'll lose perspective about what's important and not if you don't. We're in a day and age. Everything's whacked out of perspective. Everything's whacked out. And if you think everything's running along pretty normal and all this other stuff's pretty normal, you're pretty whacked out. Because things are really gotten whacked out. They've really gotten messed up out here. And God wants us to come back to a place where there's a stability. And this is where God's not your enemy. Now, we're going to take communion today. Now, communion is going to be is done by faith. I didn't go over to teach today, but we're going to go over and talk into Hebrews. We'll look into Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Communion, we take communion. Communion, the only way it can be done is by faith. Now, you could do it naturally, but if you want to actually fellowship with God, communion, the word communion, if you look in the scriptures, is actually the Greek word for fellowship. And they use it, they call it communion. In other words, you're communing with God. It's about communion with God. And what we're doing is communing with Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, last time I heard. I read the book and He was called God. But we're communing with Jesus Christ. We're communing Him. In other words, there's only one way that you can do this. You can only do it by faith. There's no other way. How many in here, you've seen Jesus? He's appeared to you. He's talked to you. Anybody here, Jesus? Gee, you didn't see Him. Anybody in here, maybe you walked with Him when He was here on the earth? And anybody in that class? The reason I'm saying this is not to be funny or strange. I'm saying this because we need to act like this is true. Therefore, we have to believe something that we can't see. We're basing what we do totally on the fact that we heard what Scripture says about it. See, that's what faith is. Is it true? When we take the bread is just a reminder. We're one. You and I are one with God. You and I are one with God. Is that really true? It's to bring us back to that. It's number one, the foundation of communion is the foundation of faith. Jesus wouldn't have gave us communion and it had something to do with the end time. He said, you do it till I come back. But it's the foundation of faith. We take communion to remind ourselves of our faith. Do I believe I really, or is this just a nice story? Am I going through a religious thing? I want to say this to you. It's a very dangerous thing to take communion in the flesh. We have it, we know it's true, because in the book of the letter written to the Corinthian church, Paul wrote to them. They were just in the flesh. It didn't mean a whole lot to them. This is just a religious ritual they were doing. They were getting together, didn't care about the other people around them. They're eating a meal and all that stuff and so-called taking communion, doing their thing. He said many are weak and sick and have died prematurely because they don't judge themselves. See, they didn't judge themselves according to what this was. They treated this just like a religious ritual. It wasn't a thing of faith. They weren't coming over, I'm one with God. They weren't dealing with that. It'll change your life. See, communion, now most people, communion never changes their life because it's just a ritual they go through. And in America, many are weak and sick and die prematurely. Is why? It's not done by faith. Things aren't done by faith. People do religious rituals. This is not a religious ritual. This is an act of faith. We drink the cup. The cup is what? A reminder of the blood. Today, they don't even want the blood in. The churches, loves of the churches, have removed all the blood songs out of their hymnals. You know, you won't go to most of these local churches and they'd ever sing a blood song. You know, that's a messy Christianity. We have this nice little clean Christianity that's just so nice, and man, you and the devil can just have a great time together. We don't want one of that. We're doing it by faith to remind us of the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Do you really believe that your sins were remitted? Do you really believe? See, you have to, and we're doing that. That covenant, it's the new covenant in His blood. The new covenant. Didn't say just salvation. Everything that God did is in that blood. Everything He supplied for you. He bought you with a price. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body. Do you ever think about that? Glorify God in your body? Does cancer glorify God in your body? Last time I heard it didn't. There's nothing glorious about sickness. I've had it already. There's nothing glorious about sickness. There's nothing glorious about ailments. There's nothing glorious about pain. He said, glorify God. See, when people get off and they get over and they get filled with all the human thinking about all their diets and all what the doctor said, what did Jesus say? Is getting our faith just simply back over to the fact. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? I'm one with God. You ever believe you're one with God, it'll revolutionize your life. We're one with God. And on top of it, we're one blood with God. Hallelujah. The covenant's, and we're responding to it by faith. Communion is always a reminder to us of who and what we are. It's not just a nice, well, I do this, it'll be blessed. You know, people got over, got weird, say, well, you know, the bread turns into the actual flesh of Jesus. What on earth's the purpose of that? That's a nice religious thing, but it ain't got nothing to do with faith. Faith is based on the Word. You'll find no place in Scripture that tells you that the bread turns into His flesh. There's no place in Scripture says that. You have no basis of faith for it. Jesus didn't say that's what you were supposed to believe. Did He? I don't care what minister says. Oh, yeah, him and God told him. I'm sorry, I read the book. See, things come along and enter in and take away from faith. And then we wonder why we don't get the benefit. See, I believe communion should bring great benefit to us. If it is actually us communing with God, in other words, we're fellowshipping with God, shouldn't it be treated as such? Right now, you know, we're fellowshipping in God in one plane, but that's another plane to fellowship. That's another place of fellowship. It's to remind us who and what we are. You're one with God. Think about that. Jesus praying for the disciples, John 17 said, Father, you love these guys just like you love me. Woo-wee. Do you ever think about that? Jesus, God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. Jesus don't get any more loving from the daddy than you can have. He ain't no more favorite son than you are. My God! That's fellowship. See, in what level are you going to fellowship with God on? Or maybe going to level of fellowship, well, you know, I'm just, you know, doing this thing here and we do this and it becomes a thing where it's not fellowship. It's fellowship with God. God loves me. God made me one with Him. Through Jesus Christ, God made me one. No wonder we confess Him as Lord. My God, look what He did for us. Look what He did for you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to share the table together. Father, this morning, Lord God, we just come to You in the name which is above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. And Father, as we bring these elements this morning, Lord God, and we're going to partake of them. Jesus, none of this exists without You. None of it has any meaning without You. Because truly You are the Lord of heaven. There is no other. There's no other way of salvation. Lord, men proclaim many things, but I don't care what they proclaim or what they say.